Morning. If you can open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. And just a couple reiterations on the announcements. We do have a Christmas party coming up. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. Please sign up for that. I believe Janet is going to be setting it all up, so you can touch base with her. And then also, again, Wednesday night, I will be sharing over at Mark Ramirez's church, Calvary Chapel, Fredericksburg, and everybody's invited. He already knows we're coming, so you're all welcome. And that starts at 7 p.m. You can check all that out on his website. So we see Paul has been addressing unity in the church. Those who were being divisive, following different leaders in the church, the I am of Apollos, Peter, Paul crowds. Allowing themselves to be divided, they were not focused on Jesus Christ, who cannot be divided. Paul asked that rhetorical question in chapter 1 when he said, is Christ divided? Obviously no, and the church shouldn't be divided either. Recall Jesus, saying in Matthew chapter 12 about a house divided. So then one was brought to him, in verse 22, one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him. So that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw, and all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come to you. So this is the same not only with the church at Corinth, but all churches where division sprouts up, and it's kind of like the sower of the seed puts the seed down, the thorns spring up and choke out the good seed. Division. It destroys churches, and many of churches have had it. Paul squashes this by telling them to focus on Christ. He considered Apollos to be a fellow co-worker and to show how they worked together to share the gospel. Paul stated in verse 6 that he planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Pointing out that in the process of planting and watering God's word, that the laborers, while they will receive a reward for their work, are nothing and can't make the seed grow. They planted, but could not force it to grow. They watered, but again, they could not make it grow. Only God can give the increase. And he pointed this out in verse 7 when he said, so then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. We then saw Paul give us two metaphors where he said, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field. You are God's building. Paul giving us a picture of himself and Apollos as laborers among the field of the Corinthians. That field or the church belongs to God. Paul here sharing that the Corinthians should not be focused on the laborers in the field, but the owner of the field who rewards the workers. And that second metaphor is, you are God's building. So let's read through these verses, and we'll pray and discuss them. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is through fire. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the ability just to come here freely and again worship you and fellowship, and Father, to go over your word. Lord, I do ask that you prepare our hearts to hear what Paul is telling us here, what you have to say to us, Father, through this word. And I ask, Father, that he would help us to take it in and then start applying it, to evaluate ourselves and where we are at. I thank you, Lord, for everything you do, and I would pray, Father, that everyone here is united and focused on your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to do that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul introduced Christ and the gospel to the Corinthians. He, like a master builder, measuring the foundation, using the cornerstone as the starting point, ensuring that the rest of the foundation's aligned and the groundwork was prepared and done properly. Therefore, the foundation he laid is the starting point for everything meant to come after. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. So this is what the sovereign Lord says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone. For a sure foundation, the one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic." In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul wrote, "Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone." Thus, when Apollos came, the cornerstone was set. The foundation formed, all aligned with it. Apollos just continued to build on it. And then after Apollos, others came to build on that foundation as the church continued to be built and grow. You know, you look at it, Pastor Tim built the foundation on the gospel using Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. At first, an independent building known as Christian Chapel, and later changed to Calvary Chapel, joining an association of builders. Now, I am continuing to build on that foundation, the foundation that he built. And after me, another will build on that foundation. The beauty of it is that Jesus is the cornerstone and God is responsible for the results of what we build. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Paul here warning or ensuring those who follow understand the importance of the foundation. They understand Jesus Christ, the gospel. It's easy to see the importance of foundations. I found this article on the internet from Parametric Architecture, the 10 Leaning Towers. And this was by Yasmin Abdul-Ghani in September 9, 2024. I'm not going to read all of them, but I had a couple of them that I thought were interesting. It said, "The Leaning Tower of Sir Hassan is a late medieval steeple that, according to a local historian, Jabo van Lessen, was built during the Middle Ages on marshy ground, with its foundation supported by oak tree trunks preserved by groundwater. However, when the area was drained, the wood rotted, causing the instability of the tower, the foundation, and it started to tilt." So this church started to tilt. And it has an inclination of about 5.19 degrees. And this leaning tower surpassed the Tower of Pisa. And it held the Guinness World Record for the most leaning tower unintentionally tilted. Until its German counterpart, the Leaning Tower of Gauwenheim, stole the title. The Leaning Tower of Gauwenheim, located in a small village, is a medieval fortified tower of the area's former cemetery fortifications. In 1749, it was converted into a bell tower. While not much information is available about the cause of its tilt, It's likely due to unstable foundations and soft ground. And it now holds the Guinness World Record as the farthest leaning church tower with a 5.427 degrees. But the church has Jesus Christ as the foundation cornerstone. The gospel as its foundation, and nobody else can put down any other foundation for the church. And you think about it, it's easy to see the church will not stand on any other foundation besides Jesus Christ. The gospel, the good news from God about salvation from sin. Our faith starts and ends with Christ. A simple foundation message of our Lord and Savior shedding his blood on the cross for our sins. A message of repentance, humbling ourselves to believe and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Trusting, and believing that Jesus overcame death. He rose from the grave on the third day. So we understand that through our belief upon Christ, we have an eternal life, our foundation. Now, if anybody builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, and we see here Paul using known materials of the time, acknowledging that there are some who are building with wood, hay, and straw. Others building with gold, silver, and precious stones. And those who build with gold, silver, and precious stones, like marble, well, they are building with the word of truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Jesus, praying for the disciples in John 17, verse 16, said this, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." The foundation. They are building with obedience. They're doing it the right way. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." We see the difference of building on a sound foundation, and also the difference in the building materials. We build with truth, the Word of God, being obedient to him. But we also need to persevere. We need to be able to persevere to the finish. Jesus said, as recorded in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, I'll start there, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" And you think about that. I can remember when Pastor Tim asked me to do this, I kind of had an idea about what the cost would be. But there is a cost, and I'm just starting to see it. It's a cost in time with your family, being able to go do the things you might want to do, because you're spending the time with God. But when you think about it, and we'll see this as we go, your rewards are not here. They're in heaven. Your rewards are really not here. If you're looking here for your rewards, you're looking in the wrong area. It's in heaven. Put them there. You see some pastors, leaders within the churches that do not count the cost and give up leaving the work unfinished. We have to be careful. And Peter brought this out. In 2 Peter first chapter 1, verse 10, he said, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." Make your election sure. We also have to build with the right motive, as there is a day that is coming in which the building is to be tested. When that day of testing comes, then it will be revealed as to what materials were used in the building. He goes on in verse 13. "Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is." The day will declare it, the day of judgment. And that's not the great white throne judgment. This is the Bema seat judgment. And Paul now shows that the quality of the material matters, because a fire is coming that will reveal it. This fire that will test the quality of the work done by the Christians. In either case, the fire of Christ's judgment will show whether that work, not the person doing it, was worthwhile or worthless. The cheap, casual materials Paul mentioned before would be destroyed in a fire, while metals and gems, well, they would survive. Of what sort it is, we see that it is not about quantity, but quality. What sort is it? Motive is everything. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Is this for my glory, or am I truly glorifying the Lord? I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't think I was truly working to glorify the Lord. I would rather be sitting with you, to be honest. But because I believe he called me to do this, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be faithful and trust in him. And many of you are being called to do things. And I pray that you would be faithful and just trust in him. Stay focused on Christ, not about all the nonsense that goes on in everybody's lives, because it's always going to be there. It's always about Christ. Stay focused on him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." So basically, Paul is saying anyone's work done unselfishly for the sole purpose of glorifying the Lord is of the gold and silver, or that precious stone, which will endure the fire. Then Paul adds, if anyone's work